offer you this lesson from Unity of the Keys Spiritual Center. And we continue today with this theme of our season for healing. And today we're looking at loving ourselves. Now, there may be a part of us, understandably, who says, what's that about? Don't we say we're whole and complete and perfect just as we are? We're not broken. There is nothing to heal. When those voices come within me, and they do, reminds me of a saying that we attribute to Mickey Mantle. If I'd known I was going to live this long, I would have treated myself better. And we can hold that. We can hold that with unity, with the foundation of unity, and say, if I'd known I was going to live this long, I would have loved myself better. I would have loved myself more fully. I would have known sooner. I would have loved myself longer.
Amen.
Amen. Amen to that. For yes, we are whole and complete and perfect, and we know that that awareness, embracing that truth, is an ongoing process. For we hold it here in our intellect, and then there's that long journey, of 18 inches that sometimes takes us a lifetime to go from our head to our heart, to truly embrace those words and not have them be hollow in their sound and in their meaning to us. Unity minister Frank Giudice, probably best known for his work on loving yourself into wholeness, said, "All problems, challenges, or whatever we may choose to call them, stem from this one basic problem, the inability to love ourselves totally and unconditionally." The inability to love ourselves totally and unconditionally. And I say to myself, you may say to yourself, what is that about? Weren't we born into this world as precious, innocent little creatures, wide-eyed, curious about the world? Yes, each of us came into this world in that way. And I recently completed this book, read this book by my friend and Unity minister Jane Simmons. You may be familiar with her name. Jane and her husband Gary Simmons worked for Unity Worldwide Ministries for many, many years in peacekeeping skills, Eye of the Storm, the Hue process. They work with HeartMath. They are now co-ministering out at Spokane, Washington. In this book, Jane explains something in a way that I had not heard before, scientifically, biologically. And that is, as little ones, we hold the world in a different way because of the way our brains are functioning. And so when our needs are not met, when we're hungry and no one pays attention to us, when we fall and scrape our knee and mom's not right there, when something happens that we feel disappointed or hurt, or words are spoken, perhaps jokingly but unkind, our immature brains don't know how to hold that. She explains that between the ages of 2 and 6, we are operating in the theta brainwave, which is the brainwave likened to daydreaming. Our imagination and creativity is in full force, and our brains are easily imprinted with what we hear and see. We believe everything as the whole and total truth. And so when we're crossing the street and we step off the curb and our mother, who's scared, yells at us and pulls us back out of fear, all we hear as little ones is we were wrong. There's something wrong with us. And we so easily imprint those beliefs that we then carry through adulthood, that we are unworthy, less than, The world is not a safe place to be. We can't trust people. Our needs will never be met because, well, that's just how it is. Those get imprinted unintentionally in our young years. And so that makes so much more sense to me as to why we carry this woundedness around with us. So we hear these words, I'm whole, I'm complete, I'm perfect just as I am, but we're not quite believing that because of the foundation of false beliefs that we've been carrying with us for many years. With that is our deep yearning, our desire to know God more, that has been with mankind since the very beginning. We look at the Hebrew scriptures this morning at Psalm 42. The Psalms are so beautiful. Verses 1 and 2. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. So we have this part of us that is yearning, that is seeking, that has this desire to know God more in God's fullness. And we're trying to match it up with this part of us that doesn't quite believe we deserve that. So you can see there's a disconnect. There's a disconnect because of our foundational beliefs. And the more that we accept, that we pull into our hearts and embrace the truth of who we are, we can reach that understanding and that fullness and be in that state of loving ourselves, loving life, loving one another without judgment or criticism or self-doubt or taking things personally. We can do that as a process. Eckhart Tolle, who some consider a modern-day mystic, had this to say. When you realize that there is a voice in your head that pretends to be you and never stops speaking, yes, you are awakening out of your unconscious identification with the stream of thinking. I will repeat that. When you realize that there is a voice in your head that pretends to be you and never stops speaking, you are awakening out of your unconscious identification with the stream of thinking. Knowing yourself as the awareness behind the voice is freedom. Knowing yourself as the awareness behind the voice is freedom. Knowing that those messages that we hear about our unworthiness, anything that comes from a place of lack or fear, is chatter and is not us. We are not the voices in our head. Siddhartha Gautama, who we know as the Buddha, sat beneath the Bodhi tree for 45 days in contemplation. And when he moved from that space, he was aglow with the change that had occurred within his entire being. And it is said that people who came across him recognized immediately this glow within. And they said to him, are you a god? And he said, no. Are you an angel? He said, no. Are you a man? He said, no. They said, if you are not a god or an angel or a man, what are you? He said, I am awake. We are all in the process of awakening to the truth of who we are. We are always seeking this awareness so that we can change our mind and step into our greatness, step into who we truly are. Another tool that I found in this book by Jane Simmons was what we do with this knowledge. So we have this memory. Maybe we can identify, we feel uncared for, we can track it back to maybe several memories, but one of them perhaps is we're riding our bicycle, we're learning to ride the bike. Our father is with us and helping us. Mom comes to the door and yells for him. He turns away just as we fall down and scrape our knee. Now we feel the world is not a safe place. We're seeing it through those eyes of daydreaming, having it imprinted on our being as a truth. We can step back now in our maturity, in our ability to discern, keep stepping back from that scene until we see ourselves on that bike. We see our dad who's there trying to be with us, helping us. Perhaps we can even hear our mother's voice now. Maybe we hear a little panic in her voice. And we can understand now he turned for only a moment. It was just coincidence that that's when we lost our balance. Perhaps we too wondered what was going on and turned the wheel. We have the ability through our creative imagination to reauthor the experiences in our life. We gave them meaning in the first place. We decided what they meant. We allowed those experiences to become imprinted based on what we said. We can change that. We can reauthor those experiences to be more life-affirming, to be more loving and more gracious to all those involved. And this does not mean in any way that if there's been true neglect or abuse, we're trying to let someone off the hook. But in most cases, people are doing the best they can do with what they know when we carve out those extreme situations. It's not as easy as it sounds. I have within me, and you might have within you, a very strong voice. She's very bossy, and she follows the rules. I call her, "You can't do that. You can't do that. You can't do that." And so as I look and experience and I say, "I'm going to reauthor this," she says, "You can't do that. That's not honest. That's not what happened." Really? I was 4 years old. No one really knows what happened. No one even remembers me falling off any bicycle. I gave it the meaning. I can recreate what that means to me. Now, I have many voices within me. I'd like to think that that's my Yoda wisdom, but it isn't. And my voice looks something like this. "You can't do that." You may have a similar voice within you. Perhaps your voice looks more like one of these. Recognizing that we have these authoritative archetypes within us that have no validation, they have no foundation for being there. Now, I'd like to think my "you can't do that" voice maybe has kept me out of trouble once or twice. I don't know, maybe. But mostly it has stood in the way of me thinking outside of the box or risking or doing something that maybe wasn't within the rules, that was actually in higher and greatest good. And so it's recognizing this, that this voice in my head pretends to be me. I am not, "You can't do that." Knowing yourself as the awareness behind the voice, you are the awareness behind the voice, gives you freedom. Gives you freedom. For our soul thirsts for God. How do we want to seek that oneness with God? Do we want to seek oneness with God being downtrodden and guilt-ridden or in a state of victimhood? Or do we want our soul to soar in joy as we connect with the awareness of love? Love that we are. Love that has always been. Love that is our essence. Love all around one another. Love within all. And so what can you do today? you can set aside some time, perhaps 20 minutes, just 20 minutes. Give yourself an opportunity to think back to a memory that made you feel less than, or that you became defensive because of. Back up from that vision. Know that it was never about you. Back up until you can see the other people involved in a more global picture and know that they're going through whatever they're going through, that whatever was done or said had nothing to do with you. Move out of any hurt or defensiveness to see that experience through the eyes of discernment, love, and acceptance. So that the message you come away with is not, oh, see, I am unworthy, but life-affirming. For if we'd known we were going to live this long, we would have loved ourselves more. And we can start now. And so it is. God bless you all. Thank you. This is Reverend Debrie Toms. If you felt spiritually fed by this lesson, please feel free to hit the Donate Now button. And if you are ever in our area here in Key West, please drop in. God bless you on your journey.